Okay, we are on the very top of Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Just to remind ourselves where we are, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah, a machlokas that the Gemara raised. What would happen if a person, right, we had the two brothers married to the two sisters, and what would happen, one of them dies, so then the brother, Reuben dies, Shimon is forbidden to Rachel because she is, right, he's ostrich for two reasons, right? His brother's wife, but also his wife's sister. And the Gemara asked the question, well, what would happen at that point if he would be Bala, right? What if they would have Tashmish anyways? So we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. What would you say, sorry, the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi, would you chive for two things or chive only for one? And Rabbi Yossi was on the opinion, for both. And it seemed like the distinction between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi was whether you hold Ein Isser Chalal Isser, right? That the Tanakam holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser once he already had the Isser of Achos Isha, so he's not also going to have the Isser of Eishas Ach, or vice versa. You can't have one Isser pile on top of the other. But the Gemara question that possibility, because that means that Rabbi Yossi holds that Isser is Chalal Isser, right? Rabbi Yossi holds you can pile up one Isser on top of the other. Doesn't really seem to be true, because we had the case of the person who had a woman who was his mother-in-law, and then she became also Eishas Ish, that Rabbi Yossi was one who held that she was only punished with the more severe, he says with the first, the first issue that approached him. So, whatever first issue that he came into contact with, that's the issue, that's the punishment he'll get, and we're not going to double him up in a sense, in terms of his punishments. So if that's true, it sounds like Rabbi Yossi holds any issue chal issue, right? That's not going to work. He doesn't hold that way, that's for sure. So the Gemara came to the conclusion, this is how we concluded yesterday, well, Mod Rabbi Yossi be Isser Mosif, right? It's true that Rabbi Yossi holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser, everyone agrees, Ein Isser Chalal Isser, but he would agree that in a scenario where the new Isser is adding to the previous one, that would be a case where he would agree that now we'd say there's two Isser. So for example, what happens if the Rashi at the top of the page had said, Kagon Isser Eishes Ach the Mosifu, right? That, for example, he's already in our scenario here, right? He is, starts out, right, that he simply has the Isser of, if Reuven would die first, right, and Shimon would now be Usher to, if Shimon would have gotten married first, and then Reuven got married second, so Shimon's Isser to Rachel is only because he's Achos Ishto. But when he goes ahead and he marries Leah, sorry, because she's Eishes Ach. Sorry, flip it around the other direction for a second. Let's say if Shimon got married first, right? So then his original Isser to Rachel would only be because of Achos Ishto, right? Because he's married to Leah, so he can't marry this woman because she's Achos Ishto. But if, but then when he goes ahead and Reuven now marries Rachel, so now she's not only ushered him because of Achos Ishto, she's ushered him also because of, because she's also his brother's wife, right? And if it's the brother's wife, Eishes Ach, that doesn't apply only to Shimon, that applies to all of Shimon's brothers, right? Levi and Yehuda, etc. So that's a Isser Mosif, it's now creating more individuals to whom Rachel is Usher. So that again, even though Yossi typically holds an Isser Chal Isser, he would agree in this scenario that we would say that you have more Isurim. That works in that scenario. Fine, I'm just trying to find the right case here. Fine, so the Gemara now is going to attack that approach. So the Gemara says, Tenach, Hecha denasa chai v'achach nasa meis. Migu di tosif isr legabe achim itusif isr legabe didei. Right, so the Gemara says, that's all fine, everything we just said is fine, if, what happened first? If nasa chai v'achach nasa meis, right, again, the person chai is the person who stays alive, meis is the person who eventually will die. Right, if Shimon, because Reuben's the one who's going to die eventually. If Shimon got married first, and this is what we said before, if Shimon marries Leah first, I get it. His only issue to Rachel originally was just because she was Achos Ishto. And then when Reuven marries Rachel, there's an right the second marriage. Now Reuven gets married to Rachel, Nasa Meis. So now Rachel is also to Shimon and Levi and Yehuda. I get it. That's an Isser Mosif. I understand that. But however, in the next case, if it was the opposite, that Reuven got married first and then Shimon got married, this wouldn't work, right? Gemara is going to ask, my Isser Mosif Ika. Because in this scenario, right, Reuven marries Rachel first. What happens the moment Reuven marries Rachel? Rachel is usher to, right, all, she's usher to all of his brothers, right? Forgetting Yibam, which will allow it, but she's has an Isser, Ishes Ach to all of Reuven's brothers originally, right away. If Shimon then marries Leah, what happens? So yes, Shimon was usher to Rachel because she was Ishes Ach, and now when Shimon marries Leah, what happens? He's also usher to her because of Achos Isha. But there's no additional people who are being included in the Isser that Rachel has, right? So that, the Gemara says, that's not an Isser Mosif. Right, that's not going to work. It only works in the scenario when Shimon got married first. But if Reuven got married first, then your whole conversation, this whole point, that isn't going to make sense. Right, so let's just go back to the Gemara for 1 second. I understand this. Your whole concept of yes, for the Rabbi Yossi holds ein yisr chalisr, and the reason here in our Mishnah, you know that Rabbi Yossi was willing to be. To add, you know, to pile on one Isser on top of the other is because of Isser Mosif. That's only going to be true in one scenario, right, where the Nasa Chai V'Achim Nasa Meis. Migo di Yitosef Isser Lagabe Achim Yitosef Isser Lagabe Didei. Since the brothers had more Isserim, so great, so Shimon's included in those brothers. Ela Heicha the Nasa Meis V'Achim Nasa Chai Mai Isser Mosif Ika. But in the scenario where Reuven got married first and then only afterwards Shimon got married, then again, there's nothing being added to everybody else. So the fact that Shimon's extra Isser to Rachel because now because of Achos Ishto, so that's not really going to do anything for us. That's not a real Isser Mosif. But now the Gemara adds one point. V'chi teimen, if you're going to tell me, I know what you're going to say, there are more Isserim happening. What more Isserim are happening here? Take a look at the Gemara. V'chi teimen, migo di itzar bekulu achvasa. Maybe you're going to tell me like this. You're right. So again, the case now is where Reuven gets married first and then Shimon gets married, right? So Reuven got married first, right? So immediately Rachel is forbidden to Shimon and Levi and Yehuda. When Shimon then marries Leah, Shimon is again forbidden to Rachel just for a different reason. That's not an Isser Mosif, right? The Gemara says, well, maybe you'll say it is. Why? Because what happens? It's true. Rachel was ushered to Shimon and Levi and Yehuda right away when she married Reuven. But when she marries Shimon, what happens? When Shimon marries Leah, what happens? Now Shimon is not just forbidden to Rachel, he's also usher to Leah. Sorry, he's also usher to any of their sisters. For example, down here, if they have sisters, Sarah and Rivka, right, when Shimon marries Leah, that activates a new Isser, right, of all of their sisters. So maybe that's an Isser Mosif. So the Gemara says that's not an Isser Mosif. Why not? So it says Gemara, hi Isser Kolelhu. Okay? That's not called an Isser Mosif, that's called an Isser Kolel. So what's the difference? Let's just make sure we understand the difference here. So the point is as follows, and why this has to be is a good question. But the bottom line is, in this whole conversation, you'll see throughout the sheets here and even the art, so they use the language of who's the subject, who's the object. But the bottom line is that Rachel, right, when we talk about the Isser Erva, we focus on the woman who's forbidden to the man, right? So Rachel is forbidden to Shimon, right? And Isser, so she's usher to him in one way, right? At the, let's say, right, in the scenario where Nasa Chai V'Achim Nasa Meis. In this case, right, Rachel is forbidden to Shimon in one way because she's Achos Ishto. When Reuven marries Rachel, she now becomes forbidden to multiple people. That's an Isser Mosif, okay? If Rachel... Now, forget that scenario, right? If Rachel is, again, forbidden to Shimon because of... Let's actually just do it here. So if Reuven gets married first, and Rachel is also to Shimon and Levi and Yehuda because of Eishes Ach, and now Shimon marries Leah, and there are more women ushered to Shimon, that's not an Isser Mosif. You didn't just create more people to whom Rachel is forbidden. An Isser Mosif is Rachel's forbidden to one, now Rachel's forbidden to four, five, six more people, right? And Isser Kolel says, yeah, I get it. Rachel was ushered to Shimon, right, already. And now she's ushered to Shimon again. Okay, so there's not more people. She's not ushered to more people, but there are more other people ushered to Shimon. That's now still a problem in Isser Chal Isser, because you didn't have more, right, more people to Rachel as Usher. Right, that's Isser Moshe. You're creating more Yisurim for her, that to whom she is Usher. But to create now more other people ushered to Shimon, that's just piling more on Shimon. That's not called Isser Moshe, that's called Isser Kolel. Okay? So that the Gemara doesn't, it says that's not going to work. So that's not an explanation to explain why Rav Yossi will hold in this case, yes, Isser Chal Isser, because, and even though typically not, because that's not going to work in the scenario where it's an Isser Kol, that only works where it's an Isser Mosif. Why that has to be is a good question. But that's what the Gemara means when it makes this distinction between Isser Kol and Isser Mosif. Okay? So the bottom line is, at this point, the Gemara says, I'm stuck. Right? I don't have an explanation as to how it is that Rav Yossi, right, is going to hold, again, in our original scenario, that when the man ends up, right, Baalea, when he wasn't supposed to, right, Shimon goes ahead and marries Rachel, you know, has Tashmi Rachel, when he wasn't supposed to even with her, how are we going to deal with that scenario? When Rav Yossi says that he's chayv shtayim, basically he's chayv for two things, how can that be? I thought he holds, everyone agrees, en yisr chal yisr. So what are we going to do? So the Gemara gives the following answer. So rather, the Gemara answers as follows. Ella, amarava ma'ale ani akasuf, sorry, ma'ale ani alav, ki'ilu asr shtayim. Ve'eno chayev ela achas. So the Gemara answers that basically, really, the truth is, Rav Yossi holds en yisr chal yisr. So why is it in that scenario where the man goes ahead, the brother goes ahead, and he actually marries this woman to whom he is forbidden to do yibum? To do even with, why is Rav Yossi holding? He's chayev for both mishum eshes ach and mishum achos isha. Why is that? It doesn't really mean he's not really chayev. We consider it like he did both isurim, but he's really only chayev for one. Okay, so if he's really only chayev for one, then he really holds in yisur chal iser. So then the only question is: so what does that mean? Male ani akasov, male ani alilav ki'ilu asher shtayim. What does that mean? I consider as if he did both. So. V'chein ki asa Ravin, am Rav Yochanan, male ani alav, kiilu asa beizu, eno chayev elachas. And when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said the same thing. Rav Yochanan also held the same concept. They really, we like, consider it like he did both, but Lamaisa, you know, in the eyes of Ribon Shalom, is, you know, he's only chayev for one. So the Gemara says, okay, that's great, but my nafkamina, so then who cares? Well, if we consider as if he did, you know, consider like he did two, he only did one, he's only chayev for one. All I care about is what he's chayev for. So answers Gemara, the kavro bein rishayim gemurim. The answer is, in terms of how they would bury people who were chayve misa. So if you look in Rashi, look at Rashi El Amarava, it's the last skinny line in Rashi, all the way down, where the white line is the most skinny. La olam leis le Rav Yossi iser chal iser. You're right, Rav Yossi doesn't hold iser chal iser. V'hadik amr le'eo chayav alam yishum eishet ish ach u mishum achos. Yisha la b'shogig le'chayav v'shtei chatos. Right? I mean, again, if a person's, what's the usual nafkamina, if you're chayav for one or chayav for two, is that, what would, because again, you, like we said before, if it's chayav misa, you're going to get killed anyways. Right? You're only going to give you one type of misa. So, but if you did it b'shogig, any chiyav misa or chiyav kares, you do a b'shogeg, you bring a chatas. So if you're chayav for both, then you're going to bring two korban chatas. But that's not what this means. Meaning that would be the nafkamina. The answer is we're not even requiring that because ein yisr chal iser. So ela b'mezid v'le'asos rasha gamor v'le'kavro b'ein rishayim. There's a halacha about how we bury people who are chayav misa. Rashan gamurim. Why shall rasha nikvar etzel rishayim? The Tanaim is Sanhedrin. The mission says in Sanhedrin, Shtei kvaros hayu mitukanin lebezdin. Echad l'nehrogin u'l'nechnokin ve'echad l'niskalim v'nisrafim. We mentioned before that of the four chayvei misa, there's different levels of severity. So they actually had different cemeteries for people who died through harag and chenek and those who died through skila and sreifa. So v'hachanami afagav d'hai lav mechayvei bezdin hu hol v'ava tarte karvina le gabe niskalim v'nisrafim. When the guy dies, eventually, he'd be buried with the more severe iser. the people who did the more severe Yisurim. What's interesting, by the way, is the city had cemeteries like this, where the Gemara also has says in different places that if they had a Beis Din that killed one person in 7 years, it was considered a bloody Beis Din. So it's interesting that they had cemeteries for all the people killed by Beis Din when Beis Din came out, not even once in a generation would actually put people to death. But it could be, and I'm not sure this is correct, but it's possible. You could argue that maybe this guy we're talking about, not someone who was actually put to death by Beis Din, but someone who should have been. Right? If he would have been put to, got Chiyuv Misa. I don't know if that's what they actually did. But maybe that's the point here. It's not people necessarily who were actually put to death by Beis Din, because that was almost never happened. But people who carried with them those Yisurim. But either way, that's the Nafkamina, that's the point of having this conversation. But Lemaisa, in terms of actual would we actually give the guy 2 Yisurim? The answer is, even if Yossi agrees, we would not. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to present that this whole conversation is actually a machlokes in a number of cases. This question of like 2 Yisurim, etc. How does this play out? And it plays out in a few different things that are not related to Yibum per se. Ubeplugta, and these are all sorts of machlokes, says the Gemara. Why? De Itmar. Zar Shishimesh Bishabas. Okay? You have a person who did 2 Yisurim, right? Or possibly 2 Yisurim, right? They are a Zar. First of all, they're not a Kohen, and they're working the Beis HaMikdash. That's an Aser. A Zar Karev you must, right? A Zar, a non-Kohen, is not allowed to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And he did the Avodah on Shabbos. The Avodah on Shabbos, so for Kohanim, it's permissible. Certain things the Avodah were allowed on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. But if you're a Zar, right, and you're doing these things, and you're also being Mechal Shabbos. So Shal is, in that scenario, did you violate 2 Yisurim or 1? Okay? So Rabbi Chiya Omer Chayev 2. Bar Kafra Omer Ein Chayev Ela Achas. Rabbi Chiya says you're Chayev for 2 things. Bar Kafra says you're only Chayev for 1. So Kafet Rabbi Chiya V'nishba Havoda Kach Shamati Nirebi 2. So Rabbi Chiya jumped up and he took an oath. And he said, I'm telling you, I heard from Rebbe, from Yudan Nasi, that when it comes to the avoda, you be chayav for 2. Kavod, bar kafir v'nishba avoda kach shamatim Rabbi Achas. So then bar kafir takes the same shvuah and says, no, I heard it from Rabbi and it was 1. Very bad when both people take a shvuah and they're clearly contradicting each other. So hitzchar b'chi ladun. So b'chi started to explain it. So what did he say? Shabbos lakol nesra kishehutra lebimikdash etzok ha'hanim hutra. So he says, Rabbi Chiya, I'll explain it to you. Is when it comes to the Yisurim Melacha of Shabbos, that's forbidden to all Jews, right? When it was allowed in the Mikdash, who was it permitted for? It was specifically permitted for Kohanim, right? La Kohanim Hutra Veloda Zarim. So if someone's not a Kohen, he doesn't have that heter of doing Melachos on Shabbos. That can't be. So Yesh Kam Yishum Zaros V'Yesh Kam Yishum Shabbos. So he violates both. Because again, there's no heter for him to do the Avodah on Shabbos. And there's no hedge of him to be voted in the first place. So he's chai for both. Hischa bar kafra ladun. And so bar kafra said, I'll tell you the opposite svara. Shabbos la kol nesra kishahutra b'mikdash. Kishahutra b'mikdash hutra. When it became mutter in the mikdash, it's mutter for everybody. This is the social source of machlokes. Bar kafra says, when it came down, the fact that Kohanim can do the avoda in the mikdash is not because it's only Kohanim can do it. It's that the avoda allows, right? It's matir some of the yisurim of Shabbos. So that's for everybody. Who says it's only for Kohanim? So ein kan ela zaros. So the only iser is the iser of zar hakarev yumas, that the person is not a kohen doing the avoda, and that's why he's chayv only 1. So again, you have another question here of is it 2 yisurim or 1 iser for the 1 act that the individual does. And now we have another example. Ba'amum, sheshimesh betuma. You have a ba'amum, person who has some type of deformity, which makes them puzzle to perform the avodah. And they also, sheshimesh betuma. So this is a kohen who has a mum, and he also is tameh. So there's 2 separate yisurim. A kohen who has a mum is not allowed to do the avodah, and a kohen who's tameh can't do the avodah. He did both at the same time. So again, is he chayav for 1 or chayav for 2? Rabbi Chiya Omer, chayav 2. Bar Kafra Omer ein chayav ela achas. Same exact machlokas. He's chayav for both or only chayav for 1. Kafet Rabbi Chiya v'nishba. So Rabbi Chiya jumped up and he took an oath. Havoda kach shamati mirabi shtayim. So he says, I'm telling you, I heard from Rabbi that it's you're chayav for both. Kafet Bar Kafra v'nishba havoda kach shamati mirabi achas. Bar Kafra says the opposite. I heard it's only 1. Only chayav for 1 thing. So his Rabbi Chiya ledon. So Rabbi Chiya started to explain. Tuma la kol nesra kishehutra b'mikdash etzal kohanim temimim hutra. Right, tumah is typically forbidden to everybody. One thing just to point out about tumah, right? If you take a look at Rashi just for 1 second, the first of the very wide lines, 4 lines in the bottom, Shashimish Batuma, the case was that he was being Mashamish Batuma, right? So Rashi says, Bekorban Sibor Ka'amar Shedoche Hatuma. Right? It's a case of Korban Sibor that typically, by Korban Sibor, even a Kohen who's Mashamish Batuma would be permissible. Okay, that's the point. If it's a Korban Sibor, so even a Kohen who did so, Batuma would be permissible, right? Vechain Zar Shashimish Mashabis, Vyesh Kan Mishum Tuma. Forget about that part for a second. But the bottom line is, the point is that in this scenario, it's a shimush betuma, which is forbidden, which is permissible for a regular kohen to do shimush in the Beis Hamikdash betuma in a korban sibor. That's the point. So if it was a kohen who did it, that's not a bamum, and he would be mishamish betuma, that would be permissible. Okay, so that's just make sure that we understand that's the case here. So let's go back to the Gemara for a second. Let's just read one more Rashi. Eitzel tamimim hutra. Right, so the Gemara said when the Torah allows a korban sibor to be brought betuma, who's that for? That's only eitzel tamimim. Right, it's only for kohanim who don't have not balei mum. It says Rashi di ruuyim laavod di afidim b'moado afila betuma. That's a drush they make in the Gemara Mitzachim. That the pasuk is b'moado. It's always at that certain time, even if it's always to be a certain time, even if the Kohen is tummy. So let's go back to the Gemara now. So the Gemara had said, let's go back to Hischa Bechil Adun, it's almost right in the middle of the page. It's towards the end of the line. Hischa Bechil Adun, Tuma La Kol Nesra, Kishehutra B'mikdash, Eitz Kohanim Temim Hutra. Right? La Kohanim Temim Hutra, V'lola Bale Mumin. Yesh Kan Mishum, right, so again, so his explanation is the reason the guy in this case is Chayv Shtayim, because yes, I understand that typically a Kohen who would be Mashamesh Didi Avoda Bituma by Korban Tzibor would be fine. He would have done nothing wrong. This guy is a Kohen, but he's a Kohen in a Baal Mum. So first of all, he's a Baal Mum, and that itself is a problem. But second of all, once he's a Baal Mum, he loses out on the heter of being able to do the avodah betuma. So he should be chayav for both. Both, A, being a Baal Mum, a Kohen Baal Mum, and doing the avodah. And number two, now he did the avodah betuma when he wasn't a Kohen Tamim. So he says, so that's why Rebbe Chiya says that he's chayav for two things. His chaba kafra ladun, so Rebbe Kafra comes to argue, tuma la kol nesra. Kishahutra b'mikdash hutra. Same exact argument, right? He said, yeah, I get it. A tumah is also to everybody. And when it was permitted not just to a kohen tamim, but it was permitted to everybody, right? It's mutter b'mikdash in that case, right? So ein kan el mishum b'amum. And that's why the kohen who's mishamish has a b'amum and b'tumah by a korban sibor, he's only chayav for one iser, not for two. Okay, one more. Zar sha'acha malika. Okay, so now another interesting case. So again, we know, first of all, you can't be mishamish in the Beis Hamikdash if you're a czar, number one. Number two is, what's malika? Malika is the special way that Kohanim would shecht birds in the Beis Hamikdash. Right? As opposed to regular shechita, where you take a knife and you cut the kana and veshet, by malika, what would they do? They would actually keep their fingernails or their thumb a little bit long, and they would press on the back and the neck of the bird pierce the back of the neck with their fingernail and sever the head of the bird that way. That was the way they would, quote unquote, shech the birds in the Beis Hamikdash. So that's fine in the Beis Hamikdash, and they would actually eat it. At times, they would actually eat that those birds, even though they were shechted that way. However, if you would have any scenario today, for example, no one would eat any poultry which was shechted through malika. That's not permissible. You only if it's shechted through malika, it's a nevela. It's totally not kosher, midar raisa, to eat meat that way. So the kash is as follows. So you have a non-kohen who is eating malika, right? So he's eating an animal, a bird that was shechted only with malika. So again, what's going to happen here? So, and a zar can't eat, by the way, also can't eat the korbanos that are specifically to be given to the kohanim. So this czar, again, is on the one hand, he's eating that which is, you know, kachim, which are only for Kohanim. And number two, he's eating the vela now because he's eating something that doesn't have a proper shechita. So czar she'acha malika, Rabbi Chiya omer, chayev shtayim, bar kafra omer, ein chayev ala achas. So guess what's going to happen. Kofetz Rabbi Chiya v'nishba ha'vodokach shamatim Rabbi shtayim. Rabbi Chiya gets up and he swears that he heard from Rabbi Yerchayev for two. Kofetz bar kafra v'nishba ha'vodokach shamatim Rabbi achas. Bar kafra says I heard from Rabbi the opposite, only chayev for one. So his Rabbi Chiya don, Rabbi Chiya comes to explain. Nevela lakol nesra. Eating nevela, that's forbidden to all Jews. And was permissible in the mikdash, was only for Kohanim. The Kohanim hutra v'lo lezarim. It's only for Kohanim, not for anybody else. Yesh kam yishum zarus. So now the guy's usher didn't issue because he was a zar who ate the kachim. V'yesh kam yishum malika, and he's also chayfer because of malika. So hischa rakafra ladun, and so now rakafra answers out the other direction. Nevel lakol nesra kishehutra b'mikdash hutra. Right, so the opposite of we've said the whole time. No, yes, you're right that nevela is forbidden to everybody, but it was given a heter in the mikdash. No matter who you are, whether you're, it wasn't specifically given as a heter to Kohanim, it's given as a heter b'mikdash in general. So if this guy's in the mikdash, he's not going to be chayav for that. So ein kan ela mishum zarus. So he's chayav only for zarus. He's not chayav for anything else. He's chayav only one. So now the Gemara in Lama Gimel is going to ask this question, b'may kemiflagi, right? What is the source of this machlokes? It's going to come down to the question of the Isra Kolel v'alibid Rabbi Yossi. It's only come to the question of Isra Kolel and according to Rabbi Yossi. All back on our original question. We're basically out of time here. So starting next week, we will explain how all these cases, what these really all come down to this question of Isra Kolel, which we talked about before, but we'll pick that up next week.